Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. I am very excited because Richard Weilman is going to join us. And I have known Richard for probably, 35 years. I have been on different programs where we've spoken at the same conferences. He's come out with books in the past. I love this most recent book, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. We're going to talk a little bit about sales, but a lot about experience. But before we get into the interview, just a quick announcement. If you've got an amazing story that you want to share or a question that you have, just reach out to me on any of the major social media channels. I am pretty much everywhere, X/Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and more. And remember, if it is a question, use the hashtag Ask Shep. I'll answer the questions you send in there or on this show, in my newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, or my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home. Episodes can be found on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon. Just go to beamazing.tv. That's beamazing.tv, and you can binge all of the episodes. All right, let's get into our interview with Mr. Richard Weilman. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Shep, good to see you. Good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
I'm excited. I think this is the second time you've been on the show. I'm going to say I've been doing this now for 10 years. I'm going to say you might have been in year one or two. It might have been when we talked about your book, the last book you had, when did that come out? The Power of Why?
That came out just about 10 years ago, we'll say, yeah. The Power of Why, Breaking Out in the Competitive Marketplace.
Right. And now you have a brand new book. And I love the title of the book, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. And as we were talking about before we started recording, who wouldn't want that? Anyway, so here's how I know you. And you and I know this, but I want to let the world know. You and I met many, many years ago through the National Speakers Association. We've spoken at numerous conferences where we're together. One of the ones I remember clearly was Million Dollar Roundtable, MDRT. How many times have you spoken there?
One time, main platform.
Okay, and that might have been when you and I spoke on the same conference, which is great. For some reason, I see you doing more in that insurance industry, although your background is really anything related, anything sales related, but luxury items. You were involved with the Robb Report editor?
Well, I was the head of sales and marketing from inception when we had the idea, until we had our what was then a record liquidity event with the Robb Report. I was a general sales manager of a Rolls-Royce network, built the third largest Rolls-Royce dealership network in the United States. And so we spent a lot of time in the luxury space, the financial space. I work a lot in hospitality, do a lot of speaking and consulting there, work with several NFL teams to help elevate the experience that their fans have in the stadium to drive additional revenue. Also in the hospitality space. In fact, one of our clients in the hospitality space just won the National Restaurant Award for best casual in the United States. We beat everybody. Smashburger, Culver's, everybody.
So who was the restaurant?
Freddy's Steak Burger and Custard.
I love Freddy's.
Yep.
I love Freddy's. That there's one that's maybe I don't know how many are in the St. Louis area where I live, but there's one probably 10 minutes away, and they're delicious. They're delicious.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful.
So good. And I'm already gaining weight thinking about this. So let's jump into what this whole book is about. I want to read something from the foreword, which was written by my friend, Bob Berg, my friend and yours. And Bob says, so how has Richard made a difference with his clients? And I'm going to read this. By helping them develop a culture that conveys warm, wonderful, and fantastic experience at every single touch point. That is the secret to delivering an amazing experience, is by managing every touch point. So, Richard, let's start there if we can. Give us your philosophy on managing these touch points and creating that great experience.
Well, thank you, Shep. And Bob has summarized it perfectly. The reality is today that people, competency is a given. I mean, if you're carrying a card that says, I'm an air conditioning tech, I'm a dentist, I'm a hairdresser, we expect that you have some competency in that area. But people love to talk about their products, their platform, their procedures, their competency. What the consumer's in love with is the outcome and the experience they have. So what experience do they want? When I wrote this book, I really began to laser focus them from our coaching and consulting and all my speaking and asking people, what are you really looking for? And there's four things that you have to consistently deliver. One is people are looking for someone, an organization that is thoughtful, that goes the extra step for them. Secondly, someone that's kind. Third, someone that cares enough to find out what they really need or want or trying to accomplish. And fourth, that they're empathetic. So when you realize how does that integrate at each touch point, take a step back and ask yourself this one question. What is the experience that I want my clients, my customers to enjoy when they work with our organization or when they work with me? And when you have that one line experience statement, I call it a client experience statement. When you have that, then everything you do culturally begins to line up with it. You think about how can we be kinder? How can we be more caring? How can we really be more empathetic? What can we really do to demonstrate that we're thoughtful? Is that helpful?
A couple of things that are just I could give validity to this is that number one, I agree with everything you're saying. We survey every year, consumers based on the U.S. Census weighted to age, ethnicity, gender, geography, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a good cross-section of the United States. And the number one, I'll give you the number one and number two reasons. And I was surprised. I'm sure that beyond the four, you said competency already is a given. Okay. The two things that customers want, top two things, are kindness or nice experiences and expertise. So when we're talking to somebody, you expect to be competent. You already nailed that one, but then you wrapped up four words: thoughtful, kind, caring, and empathetic. I think all those roll into one. The number one reason why customers do not come back is because the experience doesn't hit those. It doesn't hit the overarching term of kindness, if you will.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Shep. You're right on the screws. And when you think about it, what happens when you elevate the experience by focusing on those four, shall we say, parts of human behavior, kindness, thoughtfulness, caring, and empathy? What happens is when you elevate the experience, you create emotional engagement. I call it the four E's. So when you elevate the experience and all those touch points that you referenced, what it does is people engage with you emotionally, and no amount of marketing dollars are going to dislodge that sense of advocacy that they develop for you because of the way they are treated and they feel good about it. I'll just give you one quick example. Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy was a very dear friend of mine, and you know, he's passed away a couple of years ago. He was the founder, but we travel a lot and had a lot of conversations, et cetera. And he used to tell me, he said, Richard, everybody thinks we're in the chicken business, but we're not. We're in the people business. And I keep reminding my team of that. And so when I wrote this book, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life, I asked Dan, his son, who's the CEO, I want to walk the line and find out why people are at Chick-fil-A. He said, well, they'll tell you it's a chicken sandwich, but that's not where they come. So I walked the line and I said, two lines of cars. Hi, I'd like to get a sense why you're here at Chick-fil-A. Well, it's the chicken sandwich is good and the nuggets are great. Is that the reason you're here? Well, they're so polite and they're so kind. They're so polite and so kind. They're so polite and so kind. I mean, here's where we are as a society. Please, thank you, and my pleasure takes Chick-fil-A, which is closed 52 days a year. Let's remember every Sunday. That means they close November 10th and open again January 1st. That's another way to look at it.
Wow.
And yet they produce more revenue than any other fast food location of any kind, including those open 24/7, 365. So anybody that thinks that kindness, thoughtfulness, caring, and empathy is not like an important part of the conversation, well, you'll think about it after people begin to leave you in droves, because people seek to be appreciated and to have that experience.
Yeah. Howard Schultz of Starbucks said, mm-hmm. We're not in the coffee business selling to people or customers. We're in the people business selling them coffee, which is basically a way to wrap up exactly what you're saying. You said four E's, but you only gave me one. You didn't think I was paying attention. You said emotional.
Well, elevated is one E. Experience mm-hmm. equals emotional engagement. So when you have an elevated experience, you get emotional engagement with people. That's the four E's, that emotional engagement. You elevate the experience. What do you get for that? An emotional engagement. And people engage with you emotionally. They feel like they're part of something. I had a CEO tell me on a call earlier today, he said, Richard, I always feel like you're sitting on my side of the table. Well, how good is that for people to perceive you're on the other side of the table? And people, I just saw PwC research, it just again validated that about 80% of people say that the experience they have with you at every touch point is at least half the value of whatever it is that you're delivering. So if you're a dentist, whether you're a physician of some kind, whether you're a hairdresser, whether you're running a restaurant, whether you're in the car business, the experience people have is about at least half the value that they perceive they're receiving from you. And they'll become delighted advocates on your behalf.
Right. You've already said it. And we'll go back to what you started at the beginning. You are expected to have a competency. The product that a customer buys is expected to do what it's supposed to do. It's expected to work. But when you put the experience that you're talking about with it, you decommoditize the experience. In other words, you take it from where I can go in and I can buy this sweater that I'm wearing at 20 different stores in this gigantic mall. Why do I keep going to this store? And I'm going to wrap up my first segment with you, and we're going to take a short break and come back by saying one of the emotional experiences I want them to have is one of a sense of confidence and trust, where they use a word, and that word is always put in front of something that they like. They're always, to your point, so thoughtful. They're always so knowledgeable. Even when there's a problem, I know I can always count on them. They always get back to me. I mean, that's what we're looking for. And essentially, we get to a point where the customer thinks, why would I risk doing business anywhere else when I have this incredible, trusting, warm feeling? And did I summarize that well?
Right on the money, Chef. That's
there
exactly
you go. This is why they pay you and I the bucks. You the bigger bucks.
Oh, well.
I mean, you were a Rolls Royce dude, right?
Yeah, well, it was fun. A lot of fun.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the book. And again, I just want to emphasize the title of the book is 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. I want to talk when we come back about lifetime value. I also want to talk about some of the phrases. You're very specific with words that you like to use that make customers feel more connected with you. We're going to talk about that as well. Don't go away. We will be right back. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position and responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio. We are talking with Richard Weilman, who is the author of 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. Richard, just before the break, I mentioned lifetime value, LTV, as we like to call it. This is such an important metric that many people forget to use because it helps you make such better customer-focused decisions. So break down what LTV is and what the formula is, if you don't mind.
Okay, terrific question, because LTV is lifetime value of a client or a customer. So if you think about it, it depends on who you talk to and the business you're in, but generally speaking, it's 6 to 7 times more expensive to acquire a customer or client than it is to keep one. So when you think about it from that perspective, you begin to realize, now, wait a minute, if these people buy, let's say they buy an automobile, well, if they're going to buy another automobile in a couple of years, or they're going to buy a car for someone else in the family, there's a lifetime value associated with that. If this individual is doing business with your dry cleaning company, there's a lifetime value to all the many, many transactions and opportunities you're going to have, say with any business, real estate, et cetera. So what happens is that we tend to focus on the transaction as opposed to the relationship. If someone buys from you and you begin to cultivate the relationship, what you begin to realize is that relationship continues to drive revenue, and that revenue has a long value to it over a lifetime of the product or the service that you deliver and over that individual's lifetime. Many people forget about this. They focus on the transaction and not on the relationships. Relationships drive revenue. So how do you equate it? Well, just sit down and say, how much did I, what was our profitability, let's say, on that particular purchase or that particular service that these people did with me? And then ask yourself, if they do that three or four more times in a lifetime, and let's, we'll use an arbitrary number. If you were making $1,000 per transaction every time they buy from you, and they're going to do that five times, the question is, if, is the $5,000 they're going to spend, what can you do to cultivate the relationship to make sure you get the other $4,000 that's going to be since the initial transaction took place, that initial, if you will, engagement? Patricia Fripp is a good friend of mine and Hall of Fame.
And mine, yeah.
Yeah.
She's my speech coach.
Well, there you go. I'm not sure I'll get her quote exactly right, but she basically, and I put this in the book, she essentially said, don't celebrate closing a sale, celebrate opening a relationship. Boom. And that's exactly right. And when you do that, then you can begin to extrapolate and say, what's the lifetime value of this relationship that I have with these people? That's the magic. And that's where great profitability comes, because your cost of acquisition is very low, if not zero, if you'll cultivate the relationship with those people. May I give you one quick example, very quick?
Sure.
All right. In Sarasota, Florida, next to the police station, there's a donut shop called 5-0 Donuts. Wow, great name. And their donut, their tagline is arrestingly good donuts. Well, how good is that? All right. Now, I bought my first donut there, and I'm not a donut guy, August 4th, 2019. Now, how do I know that? Because every August 4th, I get a text from them. It says, congratulations, you bought your first donut August 4th, 2019. $5 off your next order. I get it every August 4th. And throughout the year, it's like, dear squad member, we're out hunting for some additional people that need donuts. And then they give you a coupon. Now, what have they done? They've cultivated. This is a donut shop. If I bought a life insurance policy, if I bought a house from you, when's the last time I heard from you? The day I closed on the sale? Or are you cultivating me for the next opportunity and get the lifetime value of the relationship that you could have if you simply cultivated the relationship?
So powerful the way to think that way. One of my books, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, used Ace Hardware as an example. Also, Stu Leonard. Remember Stu?
Yeah.
From the dairy, Stu Leonard's Dairy, which was a grocery store. And he said, and I'm going to simplify it. He goes, the average customer comes in twice a week to buy groceries. Each time they spend $50, that's $100 a week. They go on vacation a couple weeks a year. So let's just say they come in 50 weeks a year. It's about $5,000 in groceries. They move about every 7 or 8 years. Let's call it 7 years. That's $35,000 in groceries. So when they come back and say, you know what? This milk was spoiled for a buck and a half. Give them a new carton of milk or whatever the price. I shows you my ignorance on the price of milk these days, but you know, is it worth jeopardizing $35,000 for a few dollars? And you start to make smarter decisions about how you handle problems or situations with customers based on recognizing how much they're really worth long-term.
That's exactly right, Chip. And unfortunately, even CEOs, people running companies, they don't think about the lifetime value of that relationship. Yet that's where the greatest profitability lies. Look at Apple. They built a fantastic brand. Now, they don't have to spend as much in marketing as everybody else does. Why? Because they come out with something, quote, new, even if it's not that new, and everybody wants the new because, after all, it's Apple, and they've cultivated me over the years. That's the difference.
Yeah. And they have created evangelists, ambassadors, whatever you want to call them, Like, it's almost, it was, I think at one point, a true cult, people who had Apple computers. But now I think they've done a very good job of deculting themselves, and the market loves them. Let's, as we start to run out of time, I want to talk about some of the words. You have some very interesting phrases throughout the book that you talk about, and these are very carefully constructed in your mind, I'm sure. And it's important to use those words. Just share a few of those with us. What are those loyalty phrases?
Well, you have to think from the consumer's point of view. And I've always said that's, people have asked me, how do you see, they ask me all the time, Richard, what do you think? It's not important. What's important is I want to go talk to the people in the stucco house and say what they're thinking. Because then if we can line up with that, and I can give you prescriptive tactics to go engage with them, you're going to have an emotional engagement because they're going to have a great experience. All right, that said, a couple of things. Number one, watch how you sign your emails. A lot of people use best or sincerely yours. Consumers don't like it. They think it's institutional and it's not personalized nor humanized. They want warm regards or kind regards. Those are the two number one, number two, kind regards or warm regards that they enjoy. Secondly, know their name that they like to go by. I mean, Shep, it's Shep, but you may have a nickname that you would go by.
My Actually, name Shep is the nickname, short for Shepherd.
Shepherd, right. Yep. So there you go. Now, if I wrote to you as Shepherd, you'd probably say, this guy doesn't know me. I get lots of emails. My first initial is C, it stands for Charles. And I get Dear C. I don't read those emails because I'm Richard. I knew T. Boone Pickens. He never went by T. He always went by Boone. So think about, do you have their preferred name in your database? And stop using your database as a CRM. Start using it as a client experience management system, CXM, and set up deals so you can connect with people. Another thing, stop following up with people. This, I get them all the time. I'm just following up. I have nothing more to offer, but I'm desperate for a sale. That's what that message is. Don't follow up with me. What you want to do is when you call somebody or you email them and say, I would say, Shep, I've identified two additional steps we can take to help you to get the house that you and your bride were looking for. People like steps, so give them steps. Don't follow up. I'm just following to see what you're going to do. If people don't buy from you, send them a thank you note for saying no. I just spoke in Chicago in January for a group, and the CEO got up and he said, 7 years ago, Richard sent me a note, and I'm going to read it to you, and this is why he's here today. And he pulled out the note, and it just said, Daryl, that was his name. He said, I'm disappointed we're unable to do business now. However, I look forward to serving you in the future. Always feel welcome to call.
Now, was that because he turned you down or because he wasn't responding, or what was going on that prompted you to write that note?
We could not come to an agreement on the date or the fee.
Mm.
So he just said, I want to do this. I can't do it. I can't move my date. And for me to move that date, I'm going to have to fly you differently, and I can't afford that. So, okay, great. And then a couple of years went by. We went back and forth, never got the date right. But the first time he said no, essentially no, I sent him I'm disappointed. We're unable to do business now. Keep them focused on the future. I look forward to not selling, serving you in the what future. Always feel welcome. Don't feel free. Feel welcome. Be gracious. Always feel welcome to call. And he read that note and he said, that's why he's here today. Because he always made me feel like he really wanted to do business with us. I just had to get the right time, the right date to get on his calendar. So wow. These are little things, Shep, but
they sound little, but they're not. Big results.
Impact is amazing.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, you and I'd love to just go through the entire book with you. But instead, we're going to wrap it all up with my final question, which I would love for you to share a nugget of wisdom from the book that's going to make people want to go out right now. Go to Amazon and buy 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life by Richard Wileman. By C. Richard Wileman, but don't call him C.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Shep. There's so many things we could talk about here. I would summarize simply by saying that when you elevate the experience, you create emotional engagement, and that emotional engagement creates relationships, and rock solid relationships drive revenue. If you want relationships that decommoditize, I'm going to use Shep's phrase, decommoditizes your product line, your service line, and gets people to want to do business with you, then focus on building a relationship with them. And if you do, they'll stand in line to do business with you. Just think about the companies like Chick-fil-A, like Starbucks and others, where people do stand in line. Why? Because the way they're treated makes all the difference in the world.
The four E's. It all comes back to the four E's.
Sure does. Absolutely.
Awesome. Richard, thanks so much for being an amazing guest. This is why we call it Amazing Business Radio. People out there, please come back next week. We'll have another great interview, I promise. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken. Looking forward to talking to you then, hearing from you then, and remember to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.